This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Top of the fifth inning. Nationals lead the Dodgers 8-0. Told you you'd smile.
That's a good one.
Go Dodgers.
Yeah. I knew it. You're so predictable. You can't even, Grandy, you can't even let me have a moment. One time, I say go Dodgers, and now you're going to just continue to rub my nose in it.
It's all worth a smile.
It is.
It is.
8-0?
8-0.
Who's pitching for L.A.?
Is
it that Yamamoto bum?
No, it's not Yamamoto.
Is it the guy who cries all the time?
It's
some guy named Robleski.
Robleski.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. Spell that, Yastrzemski.
Who are you?
Uh-huh.
He gave up all eight. They you kept him in the game.
You want to try spell Robleski? Go ahead.
Is it Robleski?
Robleski.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Robleski sucks.
What's the origin of the word? It's like the spelling bee.
Polish, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Polish/Washington.
It's profiling.
He's from Illinois.
Just because he's a ski.
Robleski.
R-O-B-L-E-S-K-I. R-O-H?
Just try to get the first letter right.
See if you can get the first letter, we'll give you three more guesses.
You said Robleski?
Robleski.
Well, then it's got to be an R.
Nope. Try again.
H?
Nope. Try again. That was a good guess, though.
It can't be Y.
Try again. Last guess. The Willard family is waiting to steal.
Robleski? H.
Yeah, you already guessed that. W. W.
Well, then it's not pronounced Robleski.
Yeah, W-R-O-B-L-E-S-K-I. Spells sucks.
Poor kid.
Gave up eight to the Nationals. I don't think you're going to need to remember that name much longer.
8-0. Four innings. Eight runs all earned.
Oh, I mean, you could have made...
Two bombs.
Like, you could have done better to make me smile.
Why? Now it's 8-1.
You know why he's pitching, right?
No.
Because Blake Snell's hurt.
Oh.
Now that.
Blake Snell's
hurt. Now that.
He's on the IL.
We don't root for injuries.
You don't.
Do we?
You know how you smell.
We don't root for injuries.
You know how you spell Snell, right? H-R-U-T.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. He'll take his time getting back. I do know that.
We don't root for injuries, but when they happen to certain players.
It's not like I didn't cry about it. Yeah.
You wanted me to smile, and I did.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to smile, and you did.
And I am. It's 8-1. Actually, we shouldn't smile yet. That's probably plenty of time for this lineup to
Too
come
much
back.
Much time.
Anyway, Tom and Sonoma on Willie and Dibby. Greg Anthony's going to join us in about 5 minutes. Hi, Tom. What are you doing?
Hey, Willard. Hey, Dibs. You guys having a great show today, man. And, hey, Willard, I got to give you credit for being man enough for paying off your debt there to the radio station fans of the world.
You got it, Tom. I do want to say, I want to keep letting everybody know, this was not a debt and it was not a bet. It was just a promise. It was me putting out to the gods, I hope they can go 3-1. I think that's going to be really hard, but I'll be so excited if they do. We're painting the face, and so we did.
Well, you're a man of your word. So let's go on here. So, man, the number one key here is Kuminga. For us to go deep in the playoffs, he's the guy. He's got to be our number two and number three scorer. He has to be. He's not doing that's bothering me a little bit is he's not driving to the basket early, you know, or enough. You know, he's such a dynamic player, but he's got to make that defense react. And he needs to see how that defense reacts to him in the hole so he can make adjustments. And I want him driving more, you know. So that's what I got to say, man. I want to go 4-0. I'm greedy.
Tom, why does he – this is interesting to me. Why does he need to be the number two scorer in your mind?
Well, the two or three.
Okay, why?
Because I feel he's the best offensive guy in the lineup over everybody else. Tell me who's the next man in line.
I mean,
who can do it?
Right now, if I want to, like, play a little bit prisoner of the moment – I would argue that you're getting more consistent scoring from Brandon Pajemski.
Yeah, but he doesn't have that drive ability. He doesn't have the ability to suck the defense in like Kuminga.
No, he doesn't. You know? But he has a better ability to shoot the three. And Jonathan driving to the basket is sometimes good, but sometimes not. It certainly wasn't the other night. You know what I mean? Like the comment I made is it looks like Jonathan, when he gets the ball, is thinking too much as opposed to having confidence within the flow of the offense. That's what I see right now sometimes, Tom.
So when he tries, he doesn't have an outlet, and that's his problem. He needs to know where he's going to throw the ball to if he gets in the hole and he has nowhere to go. That's where I see he has problems, and that's where he commits to the shot instead of throwing the ball out. He needs to work on it.
No doubt. Tom, thanks. Appreciate it. I think that the Warriors could really use the dynamic that Jonathan Kuminga brings. I very much believe that, and I think there are certain nights, especially if Jonathan does what he did last Thursday in L.A., I think that's a very, very big piece of the puzzle. But again, some of this rings to me like using that phrase we talked about earlier of forcing it. Like Jonathan doesn't need to this or need to that. And actually, if Steve Kerr were here right now, I you want to know what I think Jonathan needs to do and what the Warriors need? They need Jonathan Kuminga to want to get every single rebound. That's what they need.
Yeah.
It's on the other end of the floor.
He's been doing it. I mean,
he's been doing it a lot better this week.
In spots, yes. Yeah. And if you look at his numbers before he hurt his tailbone, he came back from the ankle and he had double digits in all eight games. And then he hurt the tailbone, missed a game. And since he's come back, he played well against LA. And then Denver, he was okay, not great. And he actually was one of the few people to be a positive in plus minus against Houston. So that tells you all you need to know about plus minus, because Kuminga played 19 or so minutes. He was a plus 9, yet that's all the minutes he got because of the mistakes he made. And, you know, Steve Kerr and company obviously didn't love what he was doing on either end of the floor, but the plus minus would tell you that he was a positive. The starters were the problem against Houston. When he was out there with the second unit, they actually made some headway, but the turnovers and, you know, didn't get to the foul line for the second straight game. Those are the things where you can look at Jonathan and think that maybe he is being a little bit tentative. And I don't know if it's the Jimmy Butler effect, because Jimmy does a lot of the things normally that Jonathan would do. And so if you're Kuminga, you're kind of stuck where you're not the drive to the basket guy anymore, or as you would call him, the here you take it guy.
Here you take it guy.
At the end of the shot clock.
Late in the shot clock. It's different if it's late in the shot clock.
Right.
I tell you one thing I really like about Jonathan this week is his demeanor. I think that this is very, very important. I've seen a lot more kind of what I would call a cocky smile on the floor. I've seen a lot of that lately, and that's what I want to see from Jonathan in his game as well. I want just like total confidence in what he's doing as opposed to thinking and searching possession by possession. I think there's a lot of times that ball gets to him and it's like, am I supposed to drive here? Am I not supposed to drive here? And the minute you kind of stop and do that thought process, the whole flow of everything is kind of messed up. So the hustle plays, the rebounding, the defense, and that confident smile, there's been a lot more flashes of it lately, and that's great. That's kind of what I think the Warriors want from him and need from him. If he's got it going and he's pouring in a lot of buckets and hitting his free throws, that's wonderful if Jonathan scores over 20 points in a game. I don't think that the Warriors, quote, need him to be that guy every night for them to win in the playoffs, though. I see that as being on the other end of the floor.
Agreed, and I do think that, you know, you listen to Steve Kerr on with us, and he'll be joining us again, I think, was it tomorrow
Thursday.
Or Thursday he'll come on. So all the things that he said, and Draymond and Steph, when they talk about JK, it's hustle plays, it's rebounding, it's defense, and the rest of it will come to him. If Jonathan's out there playing 25 or 30 minutes, he's going to have 10 to 12 shots just by the natural flow of the offense, and he'll get opportunities to attack, and he'll get a couple of open threes where hopefully he can knock him down. He hasn't shot the three great since he's come back from the injury, but it's all the other little things that he can do that are going to keep him out there on the court.
The Memphis Grizzlies are up by 18 with about a minute to go in Charlotte until halftime, so there's that. The Wolves and Bucks are just tipping off. The Lakers and Thunder are just tipping off. We will keep you up to date there 2 hours from now, Warriors and Suns, right here on 95.7 The Game.
So when the Warriors take the floor, they could be the seven seed if Memphis will have won their game by the time that the Warriors actually tip off.
Right.
The Warriors could be out of the playoffs.
Almost for sure will be.
Right. Depending on when that game ends. Yeah.
And go win your game.
Yeah. There you go.
Go right back up. And then see what Minnesota's doing. So we'll keep an eye on that stuff for you for sure. It sounded like earlier we got into that conversation where Anthony Slater insinuated that the Rockets had found something defensively, the blueprint, to knock the Warriors out in the playoffs. Do you buy that at all, that the Rockets found something on Sunday?
Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah, and I don't think that it's really like an Easter egg where, oh my God, look, I found it. I do think that that blueprint has been out there, and it just comes down to being a question of, do you have the personnel to go out there and implement the blueprint? Because the blueprint to stop Steph Curry, and you can't stop him for a 7-game series, I know that, but in a short sample, how do you stop Steph Curry? Well, one thing would be to devote one defender who is young, athletic, and committed to just guard him. And he talked about Iman Shumpert in the past, and I won't even bring up Dellavedova, who for one game actually did a good job on Steph, and so we all called him the Steph Stopper. But you look at Amen Thompson and what he did in that game. Young, athletic, tremendous defender. Yeah, that's the blueprint. When you have a good, young, athletic defensive player who is going to devote their whole game to guarding and stopping Steph, yeah, that's a blueprint. Not every team has that.
Well, here's what Anthony Slater told us yesterday with regard to specifically the way they defended Steph Curry.
Of course. It's not even just like a blueprint of the future. It's like a reminder of the past, right? Let's go back to the Ty Lue finals, with Cleveland and the Amon Shumperts of the world. It's J.R. Smith and, you know, them just cracking Steph off the ball. Every time he runs into the paint, they had the rule of just, you know, make sure you kind of lay a shoulder on Steph or something like this. I think it's part of one of Ime Udoka's regrets from the Celtics series, not beating Steph Curry up enough. I think that's a little of what you saw last night. Yeah, a lot of physicality is coming, a lot of overzealous defenses and pressure on the other Warriors to, you know, I guess leverage that into scoring points, because I just don't think any of these smart, veteran, you know, long athletic teams are just going to allow Steph Curry to score 38 in a series to beat them. It's going to have to be the others.
This is interesting to me that somehow they played a basketball game on Sunday, and we've decided after 16 years and potentially for some people a spot on the NBA's Mount Rushmore, and on Sunday we've sort of now found the magic elixir to how to defend Steph Curry. Go ahead. Try that. I'm sure that there will be moments where it works, but like Steph Curry went 1-for-10. That's not going to happen again. That's not going to happen again this year. I'll take the over on 3.5 points for Steph Curry in all games going forward the rest of the way, including playoffs. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do. Do you know how many times in the playoffs he scored fewer than 10 points in a game?
In the playoffs?
Yes.
In his career?
In his career, he has played 147 playoff games in the association.
How often has he scored fewer than 10?
10 points.
I mean, it's damn near never.
Two.
Yeah.
The answer is two. They beat Houston by 27 back in 2016, and he had 6 points on 2 of 9. He only played 18 and a half minutes. He might have been hurt in that game. And then San Antonio beat him by 18. He went 4 of 14. He had 9 points. Beyond that, even in the games he's referring to, the Iman Shumpert game and J.R. Smith, those are games where he still was able to eat. And I'm looking at one of the games in 2017 where he went 4 of 13. The Warriors were up 3-0 in that series. They lost game 4, 137 to 116. Okay, you stop Steph. I do believe they still went on to win the NBA championship that year.
Yeah.
So I do think that there is a blueprint, but think about a Houston Warriors series. If they play 7, best of 7, is Steph going to have fewer than 10 points more than once? Even once?
No.
Right.
No. Yeah. So, like, I get what you're saying. I get what he's saying. I'm sure it is an approach.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, I'm pitching to Bryce Harper or Shohei Ohtani. Like, I've got my scouting report. I throw that fastball on the black low and away, but like, good luck. Do it perfectly and make sure that they won't actually hit that. And oh, by the way, the other thing that is the constant wild card in any game is the whole beat Steph up thing. Well, how's that game going to be officiated night to night? I don't know.
Right.
If it's officiated like it was on Sunday, advantage defense. But they're not all officiated that way. You send them to L.A. and officiate the game the way that game was officiated and go ahead and beat him up. He's going to score 30 on you.
Yeah.
I think, right?
And even if he doesn't, it doesn't mean that they're going to lose. And I'll take you back to the NBA Finals. June 13th, 2022, Steph goes 7 of 22, 0 of 9 from 3, 16 points, and they beat Boston in Game 5. At home to take a 3-2 lead. Andrew Wiggins with 26 and 13.
See.
A guy named Klay Thompson knocked down 21. Jordan Poole 14 off the bench. So just because the chef was a little bit off 7 of 22, it doesn't necessarily portend that you lose the game. And oh, by the way, he only shot 3 free throws. So they were, Ime Udoka, the coach of that Boston team, was bumping and grinding and harassing the chef, and the Warriors still were able to win the game by 10 points.
Yeah, that guy's a tough character. I would argue a lot of times when those best players have kind of a muted shooting night, not meaning a bad percentage, but like they don't fire up a lot of shots, that often means the team is playing well. Because those guys, I think this about NBA stars. They do go into a game and they're surveying all the time. Jimmy's really good at this, I feel. They're surveying the whole landscape. They know who's hot. They know who they're trying to get hot. They're making the right decision, the right play. And then they may ramp it up when they see that they need to. But if they don't need to, they'd be much happier with a team brand of basketball where a lot of people are getting involved. I think the best example of when someone just decided, oh, I'm going to need to do something special tonight was Steph's game in Orlando a few weeks ago. Like, nobody... Remember how awful they looked in the first half? Nobody was doing anything. And he's just like, well, I kind of feel good. So, all right, I'll try to put everybody on my back. Game 7 in Sacramento a couple of years ago. It was almost like he knew it before the game even started.
Yeah, before they got on the bus, right?
I'm going to need to do this. And so he can do that. But I don't think that they set out to be those dominant dogs. Like, I think they want everybody knocking down shots. That's the easier way to do it.
Steph in that Sacramento game had a career-high 38 field goal attempts.
Damn.
He went 20 for 38, put up a 50-burger. The rest of the team had a nice little 70 as a compliment, but the chef was 7 of 18 from 3, 13 of 20 on twos. He had 50, 8, and 6. And they won by 20, so it was more than enough. But I do think you're right. When they got on that bus ride and he famously called out a couple of the youngsters, Kuminga and Poole and said, if you're not with me, then don't even get on the bus. I do think in that game, he's like, I'm gonna do everything that I need to do to make sure that we get through this.
Let's go to Asante in the O. What's up, Asante? Thanks for calling.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me on. This is it's an honor. I called a few days ago, and I was the guy who stressed my concerns about the rotation and guarding Sengun and how he was a problem for Draymond. My thing is, when are we gonna play? What we're seeing is the playoff. I guess the 9-man rotation where Moody and Looney is going to be injected. I honestly feel like Steve Kerr can do a lot better if he go ahead and put in Post and make him a start. He's 7-footer and he can stretch the floor, which can allow Jimmy and Draymond to make better reads on the floor while the guards cut. I don't understand why we're playing this old brand of basketball still. It doesn't add up to me. And look, I know Butler is a great player, but he's a 35-year-old guy. You don't really see too many guys at 35 balling unless it's KD, Steph, and LeBron. Outside of that, I mean, you get minimum basketball play from these guys. That's all I wanted to add.
All right, Asante,
yeah,
thanks,
thank
man.
You, Asante.
I get where you're coming from there. I still think for everybody who ever watches a Warrior game and you've got a question about what Steve Kerr is doing, here's what I try to do as the opening exercise, because we're all thinking about those rotations and lineups on offense. And I think Steve is often thinking about them on defense. Why don't you start Quentin Post? Quentin gets cooked by a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's a rook. He gets duped into things. He's not that athletic defensively, and it can be a defensive rotation problem to start basketball games. I know our brains go to, but he can stretch the floor and shoot the three. He can, and there are moments where you want that out there, but I do think you need to hide it sometimes because he struggles on the other end of the floor.
And that starting lineup that they were putting out game in and game out had never lost until Sunday.
Correct.
So can we just go with the hot hand? And I do think when you look at the rotation, and you mentioned this earlier in the week or late last week, and you're so right, Buddy Hield, you're going to get 6 minutes to see if you're making your shot. If you make your shot, you get more. Kevon Looney's going to play because he's a Swiss Army knife and he does so many of the little things that help you win basketball games. GP2 is going to play. He can hit the corner three and he's a great defender. And beyond that, of course, Kuminga is going to play. So that's your 9-ish man rotation. And then there's going to be a little Quentin Post if the three ball is something you need. Guy Santos if you need an energy burst. And that's going to be about it for your rotation. If Buddy's hot like he was Sunday, Buddy plays. And if he's not, Buddy, you're not going to play. And it's the same thing I do believe with Quentin Post.
All right. We'd like everybody in the 95.7 The Game family to weigh in on how we should handle this, okay?
Okay, I saw your reaction as I was laying out my rotational point.
Right, we've been telling everybody that Greg Anthony's about to come on the show from the TNT broadcast.
Yeah.
It's TNT right now, right? The Boston and New York, and then Phoenix and the Warriors.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll probably be available around 10 minutes after 5. I'll come on the show. And we were like, that's amazing. Great, we were excited to talk to you. And he just connected with Lucas and said, because look, life happens, right? And
Schmidt
like,
happens.
Right, Schmidt happens. He's like, I have to sit down with Steve Kerr in 5 minutes. So they're going to do their production meeting with Steve Kerr.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, they're going to talk to Bud. And for those who don't speak Suns, that's Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah.
Budenholzer.
Yeah, say your last goodbyes.
Right, you check in on him and ask him what he's going to be doing next year. So we're going to do that production meeting. So he said, as soon as that's all over, I'm happy to come on. Should be about 40 minutes. So
40 minutes.
40 minutes from now.
Well, that's an easy one.
5:24.
To me, that's well.
What do you want to do?
What I want to do is I want to.
You want to do a post game show with me?
I would rather pass it on over to the Grandy Man who is doing Warriors Live.
Yeah, you want to have Greg Anthony on Warriors Live tonight?
Oh, why don't you guys just have Greg Anthony tomorrow? After the game.
What a selfless, kind person.
That's incredible. Randy. Is that confirmed?
Waiting.
Yeah.
He's talking to Steve Kerr right now.
Steve Kerr right now.
And then Bud.
For me, I mean, selfishly, I'd love to have Greg Anthony tomorrow. Greg Anthony's high school best friend was a guy I lived two doors away from in the dorms in Northridge. So I feel a deep connection to Greg Anthony.
Wait, say that again.
Chris Pippins.
Greg Anthony's
high school homie.
Best friend.
Had a goldfish.
Was your...
Mind your business, Lucas. This is an actual thing.
Wait a minute. So he was your neighbor?
In the dorms.
In college.
You know, you go to the dorms.
Yeah, I've been in the dorms.
I don't know if you guys had dorms in that podunk college you went to.
Easy.
Cal State Northridge. We had dorms now.
Northridge.
We had dorms.
At Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo is
Cal Poly's
podunk.
Like farm country. So you might have like, your dorm was in somebody's barn.
Not true.
Ostensibly.
It was a three-floor high-rise.
Oh, boy.
Called Sierra Madre.
Okay.
And I was in that thing.
I was in the tower.
Up on the third floor.
Subsequently condemned after the Northridge earthquake. But
what's podunk now?
My neighbor was a sprinter on the track team named Chris Pippins, who went to high school with Greg Anthony. So I've long been a fan of Greg Anthony.
Any relation to Scotty?
No, this is Pippins with an S.
Sorry.
And an INS, not Pippen. Scotty Pippen.
Uh-huh.
This is Chris Pippins. Jerry Curl read about a 10-7.
What is going on here?
Why do you always know someone who once knew someone who once played volleyball with someone?
This is track and field, and it's because when you've lived as long and as big of a life as I have, you meet people, and you know people.
No, I understand.
And you remember people.
Right. It sounds like you were like 156 years old with how many people are connected with people who once went to Marin Catholic.
I'm just not. I'm not a shut-in. I'm a guy who lives his life out there among the people. And when I meet people, I make connections. And when you make connections, you get to know people who know other people.
Okay.
And you have a broad network of people.
All right. So Scottie Pippen's on the show tomorrow on 95.7 The
Game. No, I'm not taking credit for Greg Anthony's media career, which would be the natural follow-up.
Not yet.
What about his basketball career?
Yeah.
A good little player, though.
Yeah.
It's great. Anderson Hunt and Stacey Augmond.
Y'all don't even know.
Larry Johnson.
If I slam a jam on Greg Anthony.
No, okay. No.
Okay, take a timeout.
You don't even know.
You go on timeout for that.
You don't know.
You don't know the first thing about that.
Do you know how many of the starting five of UNLV could you name?
I just named them.
I know, but they don't listen to you. Lucas.
They don't listen to you either.
I did know Grandmama.
Okay, Grandmama.
That's it.
What else? Nothing? No. You can't do Stacey Augmond.
The worm, Stacey Augmond.
You can't do Anderson Hunt.
The knockdown shooter.
I thought Dennis Rodman was the worm.
Oh, man. Best college basketball team I've ever seen in my life. Apologies to Fab Five.
Well.
And they didn't win at all. They didn't win at all. They're very much like
they did once.
Yes, but they didn't the year that they were undefeated.
They lost to Duke.
And they lost to Duke.
Yeah.
And Christian Laettner in the final. But that was the best, most exciting college basketball team I'd ever seen in my life. Apologies to the Fab Five, who were the most iconic college basketball team that I've ever seen in my life.
And apologies to Faisal Majama, Lucas, which was Houston.
Yeah.
If you weren't such a zygote, you would know it.
Do not bring up Houston today. This has been 2 days of Houston hell.
Well, if you want a little history on Houston, of course, they lost in 83 on the Jimmy Valvano don't give up, don't ever give up airball game. And then the next year, they were still Faislamajama. They lost to Patrick Ewing in Georgetown. So Houston last night was trying to exorcise those demons.
Didn't do it.
And they couldn't do it.
They didn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be prudent. So Houston now 0-3 since 83 in national championship games.
Shout out to the crowd that was at the Golden Gate Tap Room last night, watching the national championship game, and then with one TV, the Giants game. I was watching that, too. And they were
so
over there.
So the Natty was all the TVs but one?
The Natty, well, there might have been another Giants game behind me.
Okay.
But in my view, we had a circle that was probably 10 TVs,
okay,
9 Natties, and a Giants.
Good crowd?
Very good crowd. And a very pro-Florida crowd. The lovely Christy was very loud for the Houston Cougs, and she was solo. I mean, I joined her. I was Houston Cougs. There was not one other person in there rooting for Houston. A lot of people, though, apparently went to Florida.
Well, a lot of people had Florida in their bracket.
Yeah, well, that too. But we kind of started interviewing people, and it wasn't a lot of bracket stuff.
Okay.
She was the bracket baby.
Yeah.
And we had people who went to Florida. We had people who, I've got Florida in my parlay for $7. We had that person sitting next to us. We had a lot of those people. But nobody but us rooting for Houston. Tough night.
Yeah.
Tough night.
I mean, great game. As a
great
neutral
game.
Observer, and knowing that I recommended a hedge for the lovely Christy, I did feel
nice job.
I did feel better about the fact that her heart was broken, so at least she got a little gooey sound, a little taste.
Didn't really. No, but thank you.
Well,
it was
my,
a good idea.
As my late father would say, Dwayne, rest in peace, would have been 91. His saying always was, better than a jab in the eye with a sharp stick.
And
I would always ask him, Dad, ever been jabbed in the eye with a sharp stick? Because I could imagine almost everything on earth is better than a jab in the eye with a sharp stick. So there you go. I mean, there are a few things that are worse. I get that.
I literally know somebody that had that happen.
He got jabbed in the eye with a sharp stick?
He lost his eye.
Yeah.
Very recently.
Well, you know, Dick Vitale lost his eye that way.
No, I didn't know
that. With a pencil.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a bad beat in the, maybe in the 40s.
The Wolves are up by 9.
Yeah.
Late first quarter.
Okay.
The Thunder are up on the Lakers by 2 late first quarter.
I love it.
Yeah. It's score watching night, man. Yeah.
Oh, and the Nets are taking care of the Pelicans in a game with lottery implications.
That one does not matter. the Grizzlies are up by 19 at the half.
Okay.
The Grizzlies will win that game.
Wizards up 9. As we're all Jordan Poole fans.
Yeah, what? We are? Who cares about that game?
Jordan Poole. He's got 14.
Yeah, whatever. They're playing the Pacers. I don't know. The Eastern Conference does not exist tonight. It does not exist tonight.
Washington's got a guy named Bub Carrington.
I'm a fan of him just because of the name. Yeah. All right. So
I do like this time of year when you look at these also-rans because they will have, like, your Bub Carringtons and other guys you've never heard of who
I was going to play the game earlier. Name a Hornet who's playing tonight.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah. Name a Hornet who's playing tonight. I bet you can, actually.
Well, I just clicked on the box score, and honestly, I don't know if I've heard of any of them.
You've heard of Bridges.
Of course, yeah.
You've heard of Bridges. And what's his name is playing? Mark Williams. Mark Williams, the guy that was traded to the Lakers that didn't get to go to the Lakers. Oh, and Steph's brother. Seth is playing.
Kind of.
Sort of. He hasn't scored yet. But
sure.
Anyway, whatever.
Nurkic is a Hornet. How perfect is that?
Perfect.
That one slipped by me.
Yeah, it did.
Nurkic.
All right, 888-957-9570. I might prove to be wrong, but until proven otherwise, I am going to look at Sunday as a one-off. And I mean that in multiple ways, probably all the ways we've discussed today. I am not worried that Jimmy Butler, to some of your eyes, was not engaged enough. He was not aggressive enough. I'm not worried that Steph Curry hit one shot. I'm not worried that Draymond Green lost his bananas. I'm not worried about any of it. Like, I actually think, sometimes I wonder how we feel about this, because we do. We get to the end of a game, and you're able to sort of look backwards and go, oh, we should have seen this coming, and I really felt that way about that game. I think that we saw on Sunday what we thought we were going to see on Friday. We thought we were going to see the Warriors come in and just drag butt, like just absolutely be completely exhausted, mentally overwhelmed. Draymond admitted they considered kicking the game, sitting the whole thing out. They fall down by double digits in the second quarter. Bob Fitzgerald's like, look, they're dragging their body language. It's terrible. And then, boom, they win that game. They win by 14. The Nuggets fire their coach a couple days later. That was all very surprising. You get to Sunday knowing you've already won 3, and that fatigue sets in a little bit later. You don't get a very kind whistle. Give the Rockets credit. I thought they played great on both ends of the floor.
Yep.
But if you tell me if you're going to tell me that Dylan Brooks is going to hit over 3/4 of his shots, you're going to tell me that the Warriors go 3-1 through the gauntlet, Steph Curry scores 3 points, and it was all on a shot from just inside half court, you're going to add all that up and tell me still kind of a close game, at least until there were 7 minutes to go, and then they lose by 10. I don't think that Houston, quote-unquote, found something. I don't find that to be a concerning night. If we're here tomorrow and the Warriors don't have their 47th win of the year, I will be officially terrified. But Sunday didn't bug me.
It didn't bug me too much. I would like to see Jimmy Butler be more effectual in games where Steph is not playing great. I don't want to get back to the Jimmy Butler thing. I think that we've discussed it and we've kind of checked that box. And what Houston did to Steph is somewhat repeatable. It's not a cheat code now to take the chef out of it, but I think about Amen Thompson, who guarded him, and he was 10 years old when Steph Curry played his first playoff game. So now you've got a 22-year-old Thompson who is guarding a 37-year-old Steph Curry. So there are advantages when you have a good, young, 6'7" athletic defender who is going to guard a 37-year-old who is 4 inches shorter. And you know Thompson is as quick and as agile, and so it's not a cheat code. It doesn't mean that if they play Houston, Steph is going to average 10 points a game if he's lucky. It doesn't mean that at all, but I do look at what Houston did, and it's a little bit like an NFL team that is going to, they're going to commit a penalty on every single play, and they're going to dare you to make that call. And so Houston kind of took that approach, and Ime Udoka is a coach who wants his team to be aggressive. They're number 3 in the league in defensive rating. That's the way they want to play. And if you don't get a whistle that is going to favor the smaller, less aggressive team, you're going to be in trouble.
I got a scenario for you as I'm sitting here looking, because we keep talking about if they play blank in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I really firmly think that this matchup against Houston that everyone's talking about is not going to happen.
Probably not.
Because Houston's going to be the 2. And I have confidence on this day that the Warriors are going to stay out of the play-in tournament, which means Houston's going to get the 7. They're going to get the winner of that 7-8 game. I don't know who's going to be in it yet. But let's say the Warriors and Clippers both travel through this week unscathed until they arrive at Sunday. So they're both sitting there with identical 49 and 32 records. And Minnesota and Memphis have done their beat each other up thing, and they've got tough schedules this week to a degree. And so they end up a game behind, which means the Warriors are protected because they've got the tiebreaker on both of those teams. So in other words, you're the 6, the Clippers are the 5, you have the same record. If you win that game, you jump them and you become the 5, or you can just chill. You could get your guys an extra day of rest, but the Lakers are the 3. So if you chill and you rest, you get the Lakers. What would you do in that game? How hard would you go for it?
I would go for it really hard in light of what happened today with Denver firing the general manager and their head coach with three games left to go for Denver. They decided that now is the time to make a dramatic change with the GM and the head coach. That, to me, changes everything about who I would want to play. Now, Jokic is as good a player today as he was last night before the coaching change, but I do think that this is indicative of a team that is maybe not in total disarray. They've lost 4 in a row, and they're 2 years removed from a title, and yet on this day, April 8th, they decide that they got to make these changes.
Well,
and also, just real quick,
yeah.
You know, you play the Lakers, and we want the whistle. You're not going to get the whistle against the Lakers.
Didn't we do what? Hey, Grandy, wasn't the poll on Friday something about the team outside of OKC, the team you most did not want to see in the playoffs if you were the Warriors?
I don't remember if it was Friday, but it was at some point last week.
It was either Thursday or Friday, and I'm damn sure that the overwhelming majority of our audience said that the one team they didn't want to see in the playoffs was Denver.
Right. I was in that same camp
until today. And then since then, they waxed Denver with Jokic. Denver fires their coach.
And the GM.
And now, within a span of 4 days, we've decided that we would play our butt offs this Sunday in order to play Denver in the first round of the playoffs. So, A, that's how quickly things can change. And B, we got more than 4 days between now and the end of the season. So, who knows what the hell we're going to think by Sunday?
Yes, and I will add one caveat to this conversation, which is if you're confident against Denver and you're confident against LA, well, then I'd rather be the 6 to avoid OKC in the second round.
There's another good point.
Because if you think you're going to win the first round matchup and you are now of the mind of, yeah, you'll take the over on 4.5 playoff wins, I hope you're still in that camp.
I still am.
Okay, which is good. So if that is the case, then I want to avoid the 4-5 because you likely would get OKC a juggernaut in that second round.
Yep. I found our poll, and it was from Friday. Which team, other than OKC, poses the biggest threat to the Warriors in the West? Nuggets had 81.6% of the vote.
81.
Next highest was the Lakers, 8.8%.
81% of you said Nuggets.
Yeah.
And now we want them.
Well,
bring them on.
I wonder if we ran that poll back, and maybe we can do it again later in the week, because I do think that the coach and GM firing, for me, it changes a little bit of the perspective, or the perception, rather, of who this Denver team really is.
All right, 888-957-9570. Back with some final thoughts. Warrior basketball just over an hour away. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. And then late tonight, Greg Anthony live on 95.7 again. I'm kidding. It's Willard and Dibs.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who are you?
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I'm a guy that's not watching you play ball tonight. No KD. Warriors Suns, just over an hour away. T-Wolves lead the Bucks by 3, mid-second quarter. OKC leads the Lakers by 1, mid-second quarter. Long way to go with our night. You can go ahead and chalk up a victory for Memphis, though. They're up by 24, mid-third quarter in Charlotte.
Charlotte might put up a fight. Don't count them out now, Mark.
That was funny. That was a very funny statement that you just made.
I mean, they were down 63-44 at the half. 33-18 after one.
Night-night is right. Yeah, Charlotte is not playing basketball, and the hope is that the Phoenix Suns kind of do the same out there tonight in the desert. Okay, engagement is everything on the court and in life. Vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page before every game. So every game night, we'll do this throughout the afternoon. It's presented by Shane Co., your friend and jeweler. All right, the question we asked today with the playoffs right around the corner, do you believe we will see a different Jimmy Butler in the postseason? Yes or no? I just voted no, and that brings our poll to 76.6% of you say yes.
Yeah, I was on the yes team, yes.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I hope you understand where I'm coming from when I, it's less even about what I think. It's about what I hope. I hope not. I think Jimmy's been awesome. I think the Warriors look fantastic. This version of them has been really, really effective. It has turned them into a team that a lot of people believe is going to make noise in the playoffs. So I understand the concept of where you're coming from, which is like, oh, you want to see him ramp it up. I don't want Jimmy forcing it. I don't think he will. I think he knows what he's doing out there. I think getting all those other role players involved is a big part of his game, and that's super important to the Warriors too. So I just want Jimmy to look exactly the same as he's looked.
And I know where you're coming from, and I think that your sensibility is when those of us want Jimmy to be different in the playoffs, that you think that some of us want him to be like playoff Jimmy from Miami, and I don't want that, where he's shooting 25 and 27 times a game. That's not the way this Warrior team is going to play. It's not the way this Warrior team is going to win if they, in fact, make it to the playoffs. But I just want to see Jimmy more like what he's been in the early part of his time here at the Warriors, more aggressive looking to score, more aggressive getting to the foul line, and all the other stuff that he doesn't turn it over. Good on defense, makes the smart play 90% of the time. His words, not mine. I want that as well, but I do want to see him more aggressive in trying to score the basketball, especially when Steph is not on one.
Let's go to Alan in Marin here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Alan. Thanks for the late call. What's going on?
Hey, guys. A great show today. You know, it started on the crossover. It was good to hear Mark and Matt kind of on the same side for a change after, you know, history's there. But with Guru getting, and I love Guru, but he gets so emotional when he gets a wild hair up his arse that he just tends to overemphasize his point. And I got to say, I'm siding with Willard on this, that Jimmy is the exact version this time we're getting that Kerr is coaching him to be, just as he was in Miami with arguably the second best coach in the league in Steve Spoelstra. Spoelstra needed Jimmy to be the ISO Jimmy and take 25, 26 shots a game. So I believe Kerr's driving this, and Jimmy's doing exactly what his coach wants him to do, which is to get everybody involved. And when Steph happens to have an off shooting night, they're not going to change the game plan. They're not going to ask Jimmy to suddenly revert back to 2021 Jimmy and go back to that type of a player. So I'm with you, Mark. 27 games in, it's working. Don't change it. Have a great day, guys.
Yeah, you too, Alan. I think it looks great, and I get it. I get it from the standpoint of, for a lot of us, when our eyes get big when we're watching basketball, this is what we love. We love watching great players have great nights. So from an entertainment standpoint, and this would be kind of what my final thought on all of this would be tonight. I think some of us are letting our entertainment eye get in the way of our X's and O's eye. Jimmy Butler being a dude and being a nickname and going off and you know, mean mugging a camera and all that stuff, super entertaining. I don't want to set out for that to start the night. You know, I don't even think Steph does that. I think that those guys do that when, A, they either feel it's completely necessary or they feel like the game is set up to where they can. Like, do I have my shot? Do the officials kind of, are they calling the game the way that I want? Who's defending me? How are they going about their business? We know what teams are going to do with the Warriors. They're going to run at Steph. They're going to put multiple people on him. They're going to try to beat him up, and they're going to try to clog the middle with Jimmy Butler, because the Warriors' two best players are both small. They're like, nobody's big. And so that's what they're going to try to do, and therefore make some of those other guys beat you. And I think the Warriors are incentivized at least to start games on having those other guys play well as well. Pods, Kuminga, whoever.
And that's fine, and you can have that, but you can also have your second best scorer, your second best player be more impactful and more determined in trying to get to his spot, and his spot is getting into contact and getting to the foul line. And I don't think that he did that. He certainly didn't do it in the first quarter, when the Warriors actually came out and outplayed Houston, and it was because of Pods, who was shooting it great, and it was also because of a good start from Buddy Hield, who had a nice game. But as the game wore on and it came clear that Steph wasn't having a good game, that's where I'm looking for Jimmy Butler to not be different, but just be more assertive. He's such a smart player. You read the room and you see that this is probably what your team needs, and you go out and do it.
Before we hop out of here tonight, I don't know how deep. I know we were getting playful with John Bloom, the voice of the Suns,
yep,
who is a Giants fan and maybe really loves the City Connects because they actually look like Suns jerseys. And so that's what do you actually think? And for those of you listening on the radio, pop online, or if you do check in on the Giants game later on tonight, they're wearing a new version of their City Connects that are new to this year, and they're wearing them tonight because it's Tuesday and that's what they do. What's your actual thought on those of us who have seen it online? What do you think?
The initial thought was I didn't like it. And then as I've gone through the research, and it's interesting, I listened to KCBS All News 74, sister station, Stephen Langford, who I may or may not have made in this business.
Oh, here we go.
He had a sports report earlier, and he broke down everything that John Bloom was talking about, the history of it, NYU, a nod to the Violets and a nod to the history and the Haight-Ashbury and the psychedelic 60s and all the rest of it. So knowing the backstory makes me like him more.
It helps, right?
It definitely helps. I'm not totally sold on him yet, but I'll say this, and you have kind of mentioned this with the creamsicles, like, go out and win.
Dude,
you win in these, then I like them more.
I think they are going to bring a certain energy to the yard tonight. I think they could bring a little energy to the yard tonight. And I'd argue, first of all, it's a uniform.
I'm with you on
it's
that. You and
uniform.
I, neither one of us really gets caught up in uniforms.
Like, I know some of you are just like freaking out, and it's a uniform.
Yeah.
They're going to wear it like 9 times out of 162 games. And by the way, if you're 40-something or 50-something or 60-something and you like baseball, it's not for you. It's not for you. The Padres came out 2 years ago with 78 colors on their jersey, and San Diego was lit up. Lit up.
They loved it, huh?
Looked like a party. And people were like, ooh. So, like, it's a uniform. Don't worry about it too much. But at the same time, I don't know, man. If you're an older baseball fan, you should want younger fans to get further into baseball as well. And, you know, I don't know if this helps or not, but, like, yeah, it's not – I don't think the it's not for everybody.
Right.
And that's okay.
There are 28 of the 30 teams who have City Connect uniforms in their repertoire.
What are the other two doing?
Do you know who the other two are? One is obvious, and then the other one, when you think about it, it makes perfect sense.
Was one of them the A's?
Correct.
Okay.
That's the one that makes perfect sense.
That's the one that makes, and you said there's one more?
Yeah. And it's the, I mean, A's because.
This team doesn't have one now, or they've never had
They've
one?
Never. This is
There's
according
another
to
team that's
the
never,
internet. Yeah.
Never had a City Connect.
Yeah. And the A's, you would figure it's just because their owner is such a cheapskate that he doesn't want to lay it out.
I'm going to guess that it's an American League team. Is
it
that
is.
Accurate?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right. This is either I'm down to. Is it the...
Where's post-game next?
Is it Tampa Bay?
No! It's the New York Yankees.
Oh, sure, because they're snooty and snobby.
Right, no beards, no City Connect. Snooty, we're going to wear snobbies. What we've always worn because that's what we do.
All right, here comes Mark Grandy, Warriors Live. Yep. We got a basketball game in an hour, okay? It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, big
These
time.
Are fun.
Big time, yep. Big time. All right. Hey, thanks, everybody. All the calls. That was great today. All the engagement for Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.